Good afternoon. The time is 3 o'clock, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 27th of June, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk with Jordan Agro about this year's Only Fools Run a Midnight Race. Bill Legere and Tim Olson will be here to discuss changes in public television in Alaska. Ben Lyman, John Curran, and Kirk Duncan will be here to let us know how to comment on proposed changes in Route 4 of the Capital Transit System. That Writer's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. Weather forecast for the rest of today, scattered showers at high temperatures around 55 degrees, southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. Forecast for tonight, cloudy skies with scattered showers, low temperatures around 48 degrees with east winds to 5 miles per hour. Rain likely tonight and looks like for the next couple of days.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Today in our Indian Country Health and Wellness series, a White House advisor stresses the role youth can play in their communities. Senior Policy Advisor for Native American Affairs, Jody Gillette, recently moderated a panel on the First Lady's Let's Move in Indian Country initiative. Gillette says statistics show obesity rates in Indian Country are twice as high for four-year-olds at 31%, putting nearly one in three children at risk for obesity as adults, which can translate to a shorter life and higher risk for disease. She says youth can help make changes.
The way that you do that is by encouraging your friends, being a leader in this area. And I would have to say that there are some remarkable stories out there of youth who are leading the charge, and I'm sure everybody, all of the panelists, can point to at least a handful of youth that they're their go-to youth in the community.
One of those who's inspiring young people is long-distance runner Alvina Begay. She says having Native athletes like herself and professional basketball player Tawny Robinson helps inspire youth.
You know, giving back to the community and showing Native communities, especially the youth, that, you know, it is possible, you know, to compete and, you know, live a healthy lifestyle. You know, we don't come from the best and perfect families or backgrounds, but we've used our struggles and our life situations to, you know, motivate us to live better and to be healthier and to be successful people. And, you know, I feel like we're doing our best to serve as examples to live healthy.
Begay was part of the Let's Move in Indian Country panel. The panel was made up of people across the country who are contributing to building healthy Native communities. Let's Move in Indian Country focuses on Native youth. It encourages healthy eating and physical activity. When it comes to wellness in Indian Country, including mental and behavioral health, it's become the responsibility of the community, says Patrick Trujillo. He's a wellness consultant and executive director of the Native American Training Institute. Trujillo started in men's wellness more than 30 years ago and has seen the wellness movement in Indian Country expand to women, youth, and elders.
Now every community is taking it on their own. That was the whole intent, for each community to take it on their own and start something, make it, you know, what they call proactive. And they're doing that. So communities are taking responsibility.
He credits much of the work to those inside the community.
Grassroots people are probably the key people in their communities. And what we're teaching these people is that you've got to learn how to walk your talk. Not to become perfect, just be aware of the way that you are, so that if you're asking someone in your community to do certain things in wellness, that you're walking it too. So then you're the mentor. You begin to mentor other people. So they become mentors, facilitators, and, you know, they just throw something out there. So they're implementing now, which is a big change.
Trujillo says one of the biggest changes he's seen is with tobacco abuse, where tribal communities are developing prevention programs and banning public smoking. He focused on wellness recently at a service provider's training in New Mexico. During this week in 2011, Navajo Nation President Ben Shelley ordered flags at half-staff to honor a Navajo police officer killed in the line of duty. Sergeant Darrell Curley was a 26-year veteran of the Navajo Police Force and was on a domestic violence call when he was shot and killed. Curley was posthumously honored earlier this year during National Police Week in Washington, D.C. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
I'm Billy Mills. As a grandfather and Olympic athlete, I know the importance of keeping kids healthy. The Children's Health Insurance Program in your state can provide your child additional health coverage, such as dental care, vision care, and emergency services. Enrolling your child can also help maximize health resources at your travel clinic. To learn more, contact your clinic or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW or visit insurekidsnow.gov.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guest is Jordan Nagro from SAIL, and also from SAIL, Kate Walters. Thank you for coming down to the station here to talk about Only Fools Run at Midnight. Coming up soon, the 28th annual one?
Yes, it is. 28th annual.
So for people who do not know, first tell us a little bit about SAIL and ORCA, if you could, please.
So SAIL stands for Southeast Alaska Independent Living, and we are an independent living center. And ORCA is one of our programs, which is our outdoor recreation and community access program, which lots of people are aware of because ORCA is always out in the community doing stuff. Kate is the ORCA director. So SAIL's mission is to inspire personal independence. So we work with seniors and people with disabilities of all ages and any disability to help them be more independent in their community, whatever that looks like for them. So it can look different for different people. And we really are kind of, I think, proud of being able to think outside the box and do whatever it is that folks need to make being independent easier for them.
Can you tell us a little bit about ORCA and what people are doing outside these days?
Well, the ORCA program is very busy right now. Summer's in full swing, so we have weekly activities for youth out in the community and also programs for adults. Last week we went biking. Next month we have a week-long trip to White Horse, which will be quite the adventure. But we basically have outdoor recreation programs for anyone with a disability, starting with age 9 and going all the way up through seniors.
They just took a group of seniors
to the tram.
To the tram yesterday.
Before we get talking about the Only Fools Run a Midnight Race, we discussed before we went on the air a little bit about the Home Map program.
Oh yeah, so the Home Map program stands for Home Modifications for Aging in Place, and that's a program that we have where we will come to your house and look at what you might need to make your house more accessible so that you can continue living there if you're aging or if you've developed a disability and need some changes made to your house to make it easier to get around. Those things we can do. Sometimes that's real simple stuff and sometimes more complex, but we would look at the whole thing and figure out what the needs are, and there's a little report that comes with it, you know, ideas of plans of how to make it done. And we just received a grant to do home modifications, so we'll be coupling that with our home map program so that when we do a home map, we can then contract with contractors in Juneau to then go in and do the work, and so we'll have some funds available for folks. So that is just going to be happening this coming fiscal year, so we're pretty excited about that.
And if people need more information about that, how do they do it?
They should call us at SAIL, 586-4920, or you can go on the website, which is sailinc.org, or you can email us at info@sailinc.org.
Right, the 28th annual Only Fools Run a Midnight Race. It's been going on for obviously 27 years so far. This is the 28th big event. Could you tell us a little bit about it, please?
Well, the Only Fools Run at Midnight Race, it's a really fun time. It takes place at midnight. Race starts at 11:59 p.m., and in Juneau, I think it's one of, if not the largest road race for runners to participate in. Last year, we had over 600 runners.
It's the latest one, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Or the earliest one, perhaps.
And it's this Saturday, this Saturday night.
And, of course, costumes are encouraged because if you're going to run at night, you might as well be wearing something fun.
Yeah.
What kind of costumes have you seen over the years?
Oh, gosh.
My personal favorite was a life-size, like, giant, 6-foot-tall, extra-tough paper mache.
Oh,
I don't know how
we
they ran in it.
We were talking about that.
But it was my favorite by far.
Yeah. And then we had, one year we had somebody completely painted themselves in silver, which was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
And there's also the centipede costume category, which mm-hmm. is groups of five or more. And you have to be connected to each other somehow, whether that's a rope or some people have gone as a cruise ship, a giant cardboard cruise ship with an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had the year of the Snedisham.
Oh, yeah, the Snedisham
someone
Avalanche.
Someone came as the Avalanche, a centipede group.
Yeah.
So it's the pretty creative people in Juneau for the costumes, I have to say.
It kind of makes it way more fun to be out in the middle of the night when people are all dressed up. And so it's really, you know, there are definitely some people that race in the race, and that's great. We encourage that. We, you know, it's fun for folks. But it's also very much a fun run.
Mm-hmm.
People dress up, and, you know, we have some... Often we were just talking at the office about many brides have and bridal parties and brides and grooms after they get married have participated in the race. So I keep saying this, Patrice Helmar, we expect to see you running in your wedding dress Saturday night.
All right. And about 600 people take part in it?
Yeah. Last year we actually had over 700 people participate, but I think on average it's somewhere around 600, yeah.
But you don't have to be a member of a team, or you could just be by yourself?
Absolutely.
You don't even have to be in costume, from what I understand.
Nope.
And there's two options. There's a 5K for those who are interested, but if someone maybe just wants to come participate in the event or walk, we also have a one-mile option.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the route?
The route is, in the past, it has been from Centennial Hall down to the intersection by Blockbuster, up 12th, and then you hang a left on Irwin and kind of go up over the cemetery to Barron's and down to Glacier Highway, and then that's the turnaround is back on Glacier Highway to Centennial Hall. This year, however, we are waiting to hear from a construction company to see. We've been promised that part of the section of the race on Irwin Street would be ready to run on. We're not sure. So there'll be maps and announcements on race night with the final details of the course.
Yeah.
And from information and personal experience, I know it's a loud group and enthusiastic as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you live in that neighborhood, you might as well just join the race. Just come to Centennial Hall and run with us.
And if you don't want to run, we still need 10 volunteers.
That's right. We need 10 volunteers.
For the race course to keep people safe.
What do the volunteers do?
Race course volunteers will show up around 11 o'clock, 11:15, and get a wonderful safety vest and flashlight. And they man the course. They stand on street corners making sure that cars are aware if runners are coming and also that runners are aware of cars that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just extra assistance on the race course to keep people safe.
And cheer them on.
That's also very fun.
So it's all happening Saturday night at 11:59, right before Sunday morning?
It is. And you can still pre-register right now up until tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and you can do that on our website, www.sailinc.org, or at Pavitt's, Nugget Alaska Outfitter, either of the JRCs, and either of the First Bank locations. Or you can come to the sale office and do that, which is on Hospital Drive.
And how much is registration?
So for an individual, it's $20. For an individual youth, it's $10. And for a family of four, it's $50. However, if you don't pre-register, the price does go up a little the night of, but you can still, the doors open at Centennial Hall at 10:30, and you can come and register then. It's like $5 more per person.
Have all the teachers been signed up for?
So, no, because I don't think that 500 people have registered yet. The t-shirts go to the first 500 people. So if you really want a t-shirt, pre-register. It'll help get you a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Last year, we had enough people pre-register that we ran out with pre-registration alone.
Yeah.
All right, Kay Walters and Jordan Agro, anything you'd like to talk about next?
I don't think so. Come out Saturday night. It'll be lots of fun. We hope to have a good crowd, and hopefully it'll at least be dry. The weather's looking better, so that's good. We're looking forward to another fun run.
And people will always miss this information. Where can people register?
They can register at www.sailinc.org. or at the Nugget Alaskan Outfitters, either JRC, either First Bank location, or Pavitt's.
Jordan Agro and Kate Walters, thank you very much for coming by the station today and talking about the 28th annual Only Fools Run a Midnight Race, coming up this Saturday night at 11:59. meet at Centennial Hall if you're not registered already.
Thank you, Jeff.
If you've ever been a sucker, brother, you got company. You say your heart's been broke. Me too. Say you lost that love hit, but it turned the club by calling all fools, calling all fools like me. If you ever been a sucker, brother, you got company. Fair. Who cares? I'll quit your cry. Come on, get in line. I'm calling all fools, calling all fools like me. Hey, if you ever been a sucker, brother, you got company.
You gotta come for me. You
calling off Fool's brand new release, which just arrived at the station today from Rick Estrin and the Nightcats. Thanks to Jazz Classics folks for bringing them up a couple years ago. In the studio with me now today are Bill Legere and Tim Olsen to talk about television changes in the public television field. Bill and Tim, thank you very much for being in the station today.
Jeff, thanks for having us.
Well, you're the boss. I got to have you.
Well, there are big changes coming up in public TV. Over the weekend in Juneau, we'll be switching from the Alaska One public TV service to a brand new service called Alaska Public Television. And it means that we will be offering PBS programming now in high definition over the air in Juneau. We'll be adding a new channel called Create. And the schedule will change a little bit, and Tim will talk in a minute about that. But that transition is occurring over the next few days and should be finished by midnight on Sunday.
We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but first, a little bit of the history of public television, or just television in general, in Juneau in the early 80 years.
Sure, yeah. Well, Juneau had had small television stations of one kind or another. I think the first on-air TV station here was KINY-TV, which later became KJUD-TV, a commercial station that's still on the air, providing ABC programming in Juneau. KTOO-TV started as an outgrowth of KTOO-FM in the late 1970s and actually went on the air in October of 1979. You were around then, Jeff, right?
Back in the old days?
Yeah, back in the old days from studios in a little wooden building where the Court Plaza building is now, the Spam Can. That building is now long gone, but it was pretty exciting in the day to build a brand new public TV station, bringing in programs from PBS. I think when the station, I wasn't here, but when the station went on the air, none of the tapes had arrived. So for the first couple of days, they played the same show over and over again, or some story like that. But those were exciting times, and since 1979, KTOO TV has gone through a lot of changes and growth and transformations, and we have another one coming up. There are four public TV stations in Alaska. They, I think KUAC in Fairbanks was the first on the air, and then KYUK in Bethel and KAKM in Anchorage, KTOO in Juneau were all built during the 1970s and early 80s. And I always note that that's before the oil money. So these stations were built not with the largesse of oil, but by people pulling up their bootstraps and figuring out how to put together a TV station. In KTOO's case, we inherited some surplus equipment from the state of Alaska and parlayed it into a TV station, and also started doing capital coverage, like the forerunner of Gavel to Gavel, a daily half-hour show with highlights of what happened in the state legislature that was sent out statewide. So we have kind of a long tradition of doing these things and making change.
And how did the four public television stations amalgamate?
Well, over the past few years, we've been in a long series of discussions about how we could be more effective if we work together. And so three of the four stations have recently entered into an agreement to share services. And KAKM in Anchorage is sharing the statewide public television service with almost all of the rest of the state. So KAKM will originate the new signal called Alaska Public Television. It'll be the PBS programs that you expect on the main channel, and Create, which is a new channel of how-to programs, painting, travel, crafts, woodworking, and 360 North, which is our local public affairs channel that we originate here from Juneau, will all be part of this new statewide offering. And that service called Alaska Public Television will reach everywhere in Alaska except Fairbanks. And the station in Fairbanks, KUAC, has elected to remain independent and do their own program schedule for now.
How did all these changes, or why did all these changes come about? Was it technology advancing?
Well, it's possible because of technology. It's partly economic. We're trying to reduce redundant operations. So rather than have the same person putting on the same PBS program in three different control rooms in three different cities, it'll just be one person doing that work for us from Anchorage. And then whatever we can free up in money and resources, we really want to spend on Alaska programming. We want to get back to the roots of public TV and produce shows about Alaskans and for Alaskans. There are a lot of Alaska shows on TV these days, but very few of them are done by us. They're mostly done by companies reality show companies who are making shows like Flying Wild Alaska and the Gold Rush Show and Ice Road Truckers, and we'd like to tell our own stories, and so this is all aimed at producing more Alaska programs.
Define HDTV, please.
High definition television. It's the new standard of TV. I think most viewers know and went through the pains of the digital TV conversion, converting from the old analog system of TV broadcasting to digital. And digital, because of the nature of the technology, allows much higher quality pictures and sound. So high definition TV, we've been providing PBS programming on cable on channel 657 in high definition for the past couple of years, but not over the air. And now with this change, we'll be able to put KTOO TV, the PBS programming from Alaska Public Television, on channel 3.1 in high definition. So viewers who have high definition TV, and most of the new digital TVs are, will be able to see really nice pictures and hear great sound.
What about people who don't have cable?
We're broadcasting over the air in Juneau, as we always have, and our transmitter is on the federal building, and we have digital TV translators for the Valley and for Lemon Creek. And wherever you are in Juneau, we're on Channel 3, and the different services are 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, et cetera, and I can give you a rundown of what those channel numbers are. So if you watch over the air, not on cable, 3.1 is PBS in high definition. It will be this weekend. 3.2 will be Create, which is the how-to channel. 3.3 will be 360 North, our local channel from Juneau. And then KTOO FM is on channel 3.4, KRNN is on channel 3.5, and KXLL will be on channel 3.6. And as I said, those changes are going to start happening tomorrow and Friday, and over the weekend it should be finished by midnight on Sunday. If you're watching on cable, all the channels remain the same. So people who are GCI cable customers, they don't have to do anything. We'll be on channel 10 and in standard definition for PBS programming. 360 North will be on 18, and the PBS high definition programming will be on 657. And the radio stations will be on music channels 871, 872, and 873. I know that's a whole bunch of channel numbers.
A lot of numbers.
And I'm not going to repeat them. They're all on the website at ktoo.org. You can find all these channel assignments. The one thing I do want to say for people who watch over the air TV, they'll want to do a channel rescan. If you have a digital TV, that's a button on your remote control on your menu. It's in your owner's manual, but you need to rescan the channels to find all these new services.
In particular, 360 North is moving. It's still on that channel 3 package when you watch over the air, but it's moving to 3.3. So if people hit that button, they'll be able to pick up 360 North at its new channel assignment, and the brand new Create channel will pop up at 3.2. So they're getting not only the small change, but they're getting an entire additional channel of public television content at the same time when we do this expansion.
Did you want to talk about Create, please?
Well, sure, because, when we were planning on doing this, we were doing it to make the service better. And one of the things that public television has been known for has been a litany of programs that people have come to love over the years, the sewing programs, the quilting programs, programs about woodworking. This Old House was one of those original how-to programs. And there are so many of those types of programs now that there aren't enough hours in the day on the normal PBS channel to have them all on. So people became used to seeing the travel programs, the woodwright shop, and there's not enough hours generally on the weekends when public television stations air these programs. So public TV came up with a whole HD channel that just airs those programs, and we will be having that available now 24 hours a day. So we're doubling the amount of public television content that the people in Juneau are getting, and that's also going to be an HD channel. So there's twice as much programming. in terms of the public television service that everyone is, you know, used to and loves to watch, there are just a few changes. I think people are going to notice that a few programs are at different schedule times. That's going to be the most difficult thing. Most everything is on the same night, but for instance, I've looked through and done some comparisons here. The Antiques Roadshow is at the same time. In Performance is at the same time on Monday nights. Frontline is at the same time on Tuesday. On Wednesdays, Nature and Nova are on, and they're in the same order, but Nature actually starts an hour earlier. We'll start an hour earlier beginning next week. So there's just a few schedule changes people are going to have to look for just to kind of get a bearing on if their program has moved or not. Most of the schedule is the same. The weekends are a little different. There are a few new programs that we haven't received before sprinkled in on the weekend schedule. So I think people, once they get used to it after a few days and figure out if their favorite show has moved or not, they're going to really be excited about some of the new things they're going to see. And then we're adding an entire channel, so the programming options double for most viewers.
And all these schedules will be online. You can find the schedule through our website at ktoo.org. And if you have cable, it'll be on the TV guide information on your cable channel and should be correct in newspaper listings when the Sunday listings come out. So you should be able to find the schedule. If anybody listening has any questions or concerns, we're really happy to answer it. You can just give us a call here or send us an email through our website, and we'll find out where your favorite program falls on the new schedule.
Bill, and Tim Olson, thank you for coming down to the station today. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
I guess people could look at kto.org and get the full explanation if they want to see what's happening, and we'll update that, and there'll be a link to the schedules on there as well.
And I should also just mention that Create will be over the air in Juneau. It may not be on GCI cable right away, but it'll be there within the next few weeks, the new channel that Tim was just talking about, and it'll probably be on GCI cable channel 94. Again, all that information, answers to all these questions, on the website at ktoo.org.
Bill and Tim, thank you for coming by the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
I mean, the CDC that we went through in the second.
The music from Mike Gordon and Leo Kottke. Time is 3:36, and you are tuned to KTVO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guests are John Kern from Capital Transit and Ben Lyman, Senior Planner with the Community Development Department, here to talk about changes in public transit here in Juneau. Thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben, let me add your microphone to the mix here. There, now you're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much.
So first, John, if you could describe the bus system, how many buses in general do we have? How many routes and overview of the system?
Okay, well, in general, we have 18 buses and a total of 44 employees working for Capital Transit. We're running three routes, the Mendenhall Valley, the Douglas, and the Express route, which is a quicker connection between the downtown and the valley. And they're running 7 days a week with 30-minute service, which is pretty great for a small community of our size. Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. until 11:30 p.m., and then Sunday from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. So,
how are the schedules established in the first place?
Well, Juneau is a small community, and it's laid out in a linear fashion, so there's only so many routes we can run, and that's actually one of the advantages of the system. Because it's linear with few roads, with just two routes, Douglas and the Mendenhall Valley, we get to within a quarter mile of most of the population, including the destinations, origin and destinations of our ridership. So the goal in laying out the routes is to keep the bus stop and at your origin and your destination within a quarter mile walking distance of where you catch the bus.
How many riders on an average day or week?
We do in the summertime as many as 4,500 passengers in a day, and that's pretty consistent throughout the year. Our ridership is high throughout the year. In fact, we are one of the most productive small systems in the nation. Total passenger ridership for the year is about 1.25 million passenger trips. The hourly ridership per revenue hour, that's the ridership per hour of each bus that's out there, it runs between 30 and 45, so it's really high, really productive system.
Have you figured out what the average age of the rider is?
No, I don't know that I have that information, except I can tell you it ranges from probably several days old to the oldest in our community. And it's also the case that Capital Transit is the agency responsible for the caravan service in town. So in addition to the 18 buses, we have 11 paratransit vans operating in the community as part of the caravan service, and they provide about 2,500 passenger trips per month to people who are unable to use the bus system because of their disabilities, either passengers who use wheelchairs or walkers or otherwise unable to get on the bus.
What's the most popular time for a bus?
The most popular time for a bus? Well, the commuting time is definitely our peak. And, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and 4 till 5:30 p.m. One of the things we're finding just this summer now with the increased cost of fuel is that our riders are staying with us through the summer. Usually we would peak our commuter ridership in the wintertime when the roads are bad and icy, but now with the price of fuel, people are staying with the system through the summer, and so that's making us especially busy and keeping our ridership as we go into the summer when our commuter ridership is typically lower.
A lot of tourists take the bus?
Yeah, we do get a lot of tourists, and right now we're we're the busiest part of our season. We get a lot of people actually who work in the tour industry that ride the bus, and so the increase starts as early as April and May and continues on through September.
All right. You have three routes, is that what you said?
Yes, we have three routes.
But we're talking today about route number four.
Yes, we're talking about the Mendenhall Valley route, which runs from downtown to Ock Bay, and it goes through the Mendenhall Valley. that's basically one route, but it goes two directions around the loop road. So we call one Route 3 and the other Route 4. Route 3 goes from the Nugget Mall up the Mendenhall Loop Road towards the glacier and then around to Auk Bay. Route 4 goes from the Nugget Mall directly to Auk Bay and then around the loop road back to the Nugget Mall. So both of them do a loop in the valley starting and ending at the Nugget Mall.
Are you talking about some changes?
Yeah, what we're talking about doing here is taking one of those routes, one of those directions, and that's the Route 4 direction bus, which is coming from Auk Bay going around the back loop road and onto the loop road. And at Stephen Ritzer's Drive, it would take a right turn and go off of the loop road and over to Riverside Drive. Down Riverside Drive provides service to the Thunder Mountain High School and the new pool out there. And then down to the Mendenhall Mall, where it would go back onto its regular route and onto the Nugget Mall. So it would miss a section of the Mendenhall Loop Road from Stephen Richards to the Mendenhall Mall.
And that's why you're making the changes?
The primary reason or the goal of the change is to move service closer to the the Thunder Mountain High School, yes.
And we should probably note that this isn't that Capital Transit is making these changes. What we're currently working on is evaluating the possibility of making those changes. So this is something that has the potential to affect riders going to and from this portion of the Mendenhall Valley, and it also has the potential to affect transfers. And so we're holding a series of public meetings starting this afternoon at 4 o'clock at the downtown library, sort of informal drop-in meetings where we want to present some information to the members of the public who come, and most importantly, we want to get their feedback about these changes. You know, this is not set in stone. We're not sure that we're going to be able to do it, but we want to get as much information and make as informative decisions as we can.
So the first meeting is just in a few minutes at the downtown library. When are the other meetings?
The other meetings are at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library on Monday, July 2nd from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday, July 5th from 2 to 3 p.m. and 5 to 7 p.m. So we're having three more meetings in the Mendenhall Valley.
And again, more than, you know, these aren't really so much meetings as chances for the public to come in and talk to us, look at the maps, ask questions, and then fill out a really short survey so that we can get more information and make an informed decision.
Is there information about the meetings online?
There is. On the Juno.org website, you can go to Capital Transit, and there are links that show maps and also discuss the upcoming fare increase.
Talk about that for a minute, if you could, please, John.
Oh, yes. We do have a fare increase that's going into effect August 1st, and notices are out right now. The way we'll implement that is that monthly passes, which go on sale for August on July 25th, will be increased in price from $36 to $40 for an adult monthly pass. And then beginning August 1st, when you board the bus paying the cash fare, it will go from $1.50 to $2. Also, the Capital Transit token is increasing in price from $24 for a roll of 20 to $30 for a roll of 20. With sales tax, it becomes $31.50 for a roll of 20 bus tokens.
What percentage of the actual budget of the bus Capital Transit system is made up by fares?
Well, we do really good with fares relative to other bus systems, but the percentage of our total cost covered by fares is about 17%, so it's still a smaller portion of our total cost of providing transit service.
And you want to talk about the meeting dates one more time, starting today with one in just a few minutes?
Yeah. Again, that's going to be at the downtown library in the large conference room above the Marine Park Garage. And a little crazy down there, lots of cruise ships today, great day to ride the bus in. And again, it's going to be going from 4 to 6 today. And all of these meetings are really informal. We just want, you know, folks who are interested to come by, spend 5 or 10 minutes, fill out a survey, ask any questions they have. You don't have to be there on time, and there's not a quiz at the end.
And this information is available online?
Exactly, yes. And there's also a link to take the survey directly online, so you don't have to actually come to a meeting at all or fill out the paper form.
All right. Thank you for coming down the station. And my last question is for John. When you were growing up, did you think about being a bus driver?
A bus driver? No. Maybe a Boy Scout, and I've always thought that's part of why I enjoy bus service, because we do provide a very personal service to people.
All right. Ben Lyman and John Kern, thank you for coming down to the station.
Thank you, Jeff.
Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Well, I'd just like to add to what Ben said, that we are evaluating this change right now and encourage people to either get online and fill out the survey or come to one of the meetings and let us know how they feel about the change.
And a reminder, the Capital Transit will be closed on July 4th.
Yes, that's correct. We will be providing service on July 4th.
And thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
The Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 27th of June, 2012. It's the birthday of the poet Lucille Clifton, born in Depew, New York, 1936. It's the birthday of Alice McDermott, born Brooklyn, New York, 1953, author of six novels, including The Bigamist's Daughter and Charming Billy. It's the 97th birthday of writer and radical activist Grace Lee Boggs, born Providence, 1915. Her parents were immigrants from Guangdong Province in China. Her father ran a Chinese restaurant in downtown Providence. Family moved to New York City, and the girl won a scholarship to Barnard, studied philosophy there. She went on to get her Ph.D. at Bryn Mawr, and because she was Chinese, she could not find a job, not even at department stores. So she headed to Chicago. She got a job at the University of Chicago Philosophy Library, $10 a week. She lived in a basement filled with rats, wore the same clothes every day. The rats were so bad, she went to the Southside Tenants Organization, started working with the black community in Chicago, became a community organizer, and a few years later she met a black auto worker from Detroit, Jimmy Boggs, recently divorced, 6 kids. He was 2 hours late for their first date. She put on a Louis Armstrong record. Boggs said he hated Louis Armstrong, but by the end of the evening he asked her to marry him, and she accepted, and they were married for 40 years. Grace Lee Boggs wrote a number of books, including Revolution and Evolution in the 20th Century, and most recently, The Next American Revolution, published when she was 95. And it's the birthday of Helen Keller, born in Tuscumbia, Alabama, 1880. The story of her childhood is well known. She got sick, an illness that left her blind and deaf. Her teacher, Ann Sullivan, managed to communicate the letters for water while running water from the pump on the little girl's hand. And she started to learn. She was very bright. She went off to Radcliffe College. She became a celebrity. She met Mark Twain. She became a popular lecturer. She advocated for others with disabilities. But she became a radical activist along the way, joined the Socialist Party, and then the Industrial Workers of the World. FBI opened a file on her. She helped found the American Civil Liberties Union. Helen Keller, who said, "No one has ever given me a good reason why we should obey unjust laws." Here's a poem for today, a poem from 1875 by William Ernest Henley, Invictus. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. William Ernest Henley's Invictus. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Goddard College, offering low residency education for adult learners since 1963, now offering both bachelor's and master's degrees in Port Townsend and Seattle, Washington. Learn more at goddard.edu. Edited by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch. Thank you.
I'm part of the 20%.
80%?
I'm not sure. Maybe 80%?
Oh, definitely 20%.
80%?
20%.
Are you part of the 20% or the 80%? 20% of listeners are also members of KTOO, KRNN, and KXLL. 80% of listeners never offer financial support. If you're part of the 80%, just go to ktoo.org and make your financial contribution today.
You're invited to join Friends of Libraries in Juneau's 4th of July parade.
Start with a costume-making party July 3rd, First Tuesday Family Night, 5:30 at the Valley Library. We'll celebrate our love of reading by crafting imaginative costumes and then show them off in the parade. Supplies provided, donations of materials and costumes gratefully accepted.
For more information, please call Sarah at 586-0450 or visit our website, juno.org/library.
Time is 3:58 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. The Valley and Auk Bay area tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Service Huna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Street, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. Also online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow at 3 on a June afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. He'll talk with Seward author Millie Spazili about her new book highlighting the mountain marathon race in Seward. Local musician George Kuhar will be here with a preview of his new release, Live at the Rookery, and Nancy Dutrini will be here to give us a rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. At Writer's Almanac Music and more today, tomorrow at 3 on a June afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies and scattered showers, low temperatures around 48 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, cloudy skies and scattered showers. Friday, cloudy skies and scattered showers. And Saturday and Saturday night, looks like mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. Thanks for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon today. Have a good evening.
Did I know why I was a Democrat? Nope. Could I be a Republican? Possibly.
The changing Latino electorate in Florida and how it's reshaping presidential politics in that battleground state.
It's Wednesday, June 27th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.